This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
This is Doug Pollard bringing it to you with the able assistance of Rob Mitchell. We're having a little bit of difficulty getting hold of Katrine Hildyard from the Australian Services Union, but we'll bring her to air as soon as we can. Rob, unions. Are trade unions really that relevant to this whole issue anymore, do you think?
Well, clearly they are. I mean, if you look at, as you've pointed out in the past, you know, the amount of clout that the shop workers union headed up by Joe de Bruin has is clearly that, you know, that they are a major impediment to the Australian Labor Party in you know, getting rid of this, you know, this ridiculous discrimination around gender in marriage. So, you know, whilst people might think that they might be dinosaurs, they still make a big impression on the earth.
They've got big footprints, yes. Well, I think the problem with de Bruin is that, is it the case, I wonder, that there's, you know, we hear a lot about union corruption lately, and that's all to do with credit cards and stuff like that, but this man seems to be in a position of more or less president for life, despite a nominally democratic system of election in there. So, and you would think the majority of the membership of something like the Shoppers Union would be... well, a lot of them would be gay, shall we say?
Well, without stereotyping, you'd think they'd have to be sympathetic. And it's very odd that there doesn't seem to be any movement. I mean, the union's position doesn't seem to have altered at all. And, you know, we talk about dinosaurs. It does really seem to me that this organisation, you know, cannot be anything but out of touch with its broad constituency. And the only reason that the head of the organisation and the leadership of it doesn't change is because there's something stopping the change.
Yeah, and it's a personal agenda rather than a membership agenda, which is, you know, strikes me as extremely odd.
Well, it is. It's not only very odd personally, but it's just obviously, as I say, very worrying that the leadership doesn't seem to change and to evolve, as would normally happen in other organisations.
Well, joining us on the line now to give us a bit more insight into this is Katrine Hildyard from the Australian Services Union. Good afternoon, Katrine.
Good afternoon, Doug. How are you?
Oh, very well, thank you. It's a lovely sunny day here. I hope it's nice where you are.
It's a lovely day here.
Great. Now, we've just been talking about Joe de Bruin and the Shoppies Union. You're on the other side of this particular fence in the union movement, along with a lot of your buddies.
Yes, indeed. The Australian Services Union, South Australia and Northern Territory branch, and particularly the New South Wales branch, as well as a number of other branches, are really proud of the stance that we've taken in relation to marriage equality. We see marriage equality very strongly as a union issue. It's an issue of fairness and justice and equality, and we're really proud to be, I guess, leading that part of the debate.
Now, you've got some other unions coming alongside you on this as well, haven't you? Who are they?
Yes. Now, just to explain a little bit, the Unions for Marriage Equality campaign has been launched in New South Wales, by our New South Wales branch, and they worked with a number of unions in New South Wales, including the firefighters, the teachers, the construction union, I think the finance sector union, a number of others. Here in South Australia, we've just had an endorsement from our branch council, our representative member group, to mm-hmm. go ahead and run a campaign here in South Australia. So we'll be asking other unions in South Australia similarly to join us, and we would also expect a great deal of support from a number of unions here in South Australia as well.
Is this going to have any impact on the upcoming Labor Party conference?
Well, that's certainly one of the objectives of our campaign. I guess there's a couple of key objectives. One is that we really want to build awareness about this issue as a union issue amongst our membership and get people together around this to support one another for marriage equality. Also, though, we want to influence the debate, including the debate that will happen at the National Conference. A number of unions that are supporting marriage equality, obviously affiliates of the Labor Party, and it is something that we want to be leading on, and we want to be part of that debate, and we want to make, I guess, the party aware that that is what our membership is saying, that they very strongly support the issue of marriage equality.
Well, I've got an interesting question come in from a listener here. This is from Terry Bryan. He says, I would like to ask, what alternative union could a shoppie join if they wanted to protest the shoppies union stance on this issue?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
It's a
great question. As a principal, as a union leader, I think it's really important that members are able to democratically express their views in their own union. I think that it's not appropriate to just leave your union or to go to a union that can't actually appropriately industrially cover you. I think what's really
So what you're saying in effect is that the shop workers union has shop workers pretty much sewn up. They're the only representative union that can act in that industry.
Yeah, it is difficult because, you know, unions have coverage of awards and industrial instruments. So you know, and expertise in particular industries. I know the shoppies do a great job of working, you know, with members with all of their awards and agreements. So it is industrially hard to do that. But what I would always say to a union member is, you know, talk with your leadership, talk with other members, and talk, you know, it's your union. You should be able to have a say in that debate. And I just couldn't encourage people to go and join another union. I think that's a very inappropriate and a difficult thing to do.
So you don't want to go on a fishing expedition.
No, I don't think that's the way to deal with things. I think you need to stay in your appropriate organisation and deal with things there. I know that might not be the answer that they want, but I you know, in all consciousness, I think that is the right thing to do, both at an industrial level, but also you know, you should be able to have a say in your own union on the things that affect you.
You should be able to, but nobody seems to be much listening. Rob Mitchell.
Katrine, you know, and I understand that the sensitivities of you saying ditch the shoppers and join somewhere else, but look, you're in charge of a union, and if you started noticing a reduction in membership fees and, you know, because any organisation, whether it's a union or a football club or a company or whatever, cash is a fairly important commodity. So if those members started voting with their feet and did join another union and that started impacting on the membership fees, would that, as an official, would that focus your attention on it?
Oh, absolutely. For whatever reason that might be, I'd be very, very worried if we were seeing a declining membership in any area. Absolutely. Absolutely. But individually, I do think that for a worker, it is really important to be in the union that can industrially cover you. There are all sorts of restrictions if a union doesn't have award coverage or aren't party to your enterprise agreement. There are all sorts of restrictions in terms of actually being able to adequately represent you. So for those reasons also, I certainly wouldn't recommend it. But of course, if we saw a membership decline for any reason, of course we would have a look at what was happening and why.
And so how does a union member of the shoppies resolve the what I'd call the logical conundrum, where on the one hand he might have a, you know, financial or she age is showing there. How would they resolve it? Financially, they've got an interest in staying with a particular union, but in turn, now they've got a same-sex partner, because the ridiculousness that underpins this whole marriage argument is that there's nothing in the Marriage Act that says that gay men or lesbians can't actually get married. I mean, you don't have to be heterosexual to get married. I mean, it's an idiotic, sort of outdated mode
Absolutely.
Of thinking. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think we would all be in furious agreement
with that.
So
why would you want to give your money? Why would you want to give your hard-earned to an organisation that purports to represent you but is clearly off the planet?
I mean, that the thing is about unionism is I understand what you're saying, and it is very, very difficult when you don't agree and you fundamentally disagree with a position that your union leadership has taken, and that is a very difficult spot to be in, whatever your organisation is, if there is a discord there. Of course it is. what is also difficult, what I would always say, though, is you need to stay in there and try and affect and influence change, and that the less people you have in there doing that, the harder it will be to actually affect any change. The other thing I would say, though, is that in any union, I mean, certainly in our union, there's all sorts of things that we're involved in, and not everybody would agree with what we would do all of the time, hopefully most of the time, but I'm certain not all of the time. And I think what's really important is that you have a union culture that encourages discussion, and if people actually want to raise issues or give their views, that there are structures to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, in most unions, you know, have rules that determine very democratic structures where you can, you know, influence outcomes and policies and all those sorts of things. So I'm certainly not saying it's not frustrating, but I would always encourage people to stay in, both for their industrial interests, but also to actually be able to have a voice and have a say. But
yeah, in other words, they need to get
that it's difficult.
In other words, they need to get themselves organised within the union and form a pressure group within the union
and talk about those things and raise those issues. Of course,
I believe it has begun to happen, but of course, it's slow going in the early days. And I'm sure a little fraternal guidance from people like you in other unions, both to the leadership of the Shoppies Union and to individual members, is going to be a great help in this.
And unfortunately, you know, important change often takes time and discussion and debate. We all wish that this would happen, you know, would have happened years ago. It should never have been the way it is in the first place. But, you know, in any great change I think that's ever been made, it is challenging.
Yeah. Terry Bryan's just come back again in answer to what you said, saying, doesn't the MWU cover general workers? I think that goes back to the point you said before. Yeah, they do, but they don't have coverage
of the awards for
shop workers, and that would be the problem there. But, you know, if enough people went over, maybe they could ask for that coverage and start boning in on Shoppies territory.
And the way I think about these things is I have a very good relationship with all of the union leaders in our state, and our union always prides itself on trying to actually bring people together and lead the way. And I guess I would hope, out of what we're doing as well, to put a more positive spin on it, that we can actually, you know, attempt to bring unions together on these things. And if you look at what has happened in New South Wales, our ASU in New South Wales has been incredibly successful in doing that. There are lots and lots of unions now who are now more publicly speaking about it. So I guess from our perspective, we try to focus on those positive things and, you know, be really positive about what we're doing and almost lead by example,
if you like,
in the hope that that helps to move the debate and moves unions along.
Whatever
the issue is.
And meanwhile, we over here will try and stir up the peasants outside the gates with pitchforks and torches.
I am the eternal optimist and always positive.
Okay, Katrine, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, and
all power
to your elbow.
Thank you.
That was Katrine Hildyard there from the Australian Services Union.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.